Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I'm reading from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. I take my text from verses 2 and 3, where he talked about you're going to find a colt at the place where two ways meet. And my subject for a little while is a colt at the crossroads. A colt at the crossroads. Now, the colt was something that the Lord needed at a specific time, and it was at the crossroads. You and I are often frustrated and fearful at the crossroads of life that can often be indicative of indecision. It can be a place of hesitancy because of past failure. It can be a place of pause because we're just simply not sure what to do next, where to turn, or what direction that we should take, and what signs we should follow. But if we can treat our faith like this colt in the text, we need to understand that it was tied by the door, and that's exactly where it needs to be until the Lord says go, until the Lord says move. When it comes to faith, that is exactly what God is requiring of us individually as a church, because with faith comes faithfulness. And our true fruitfulness and an ability to have fruitfulness comes out of our faithfulness to God. And so there are times when we've got to wait on the Lord. There are times when our patience must persevere. There are times when we are enduring conflict, we are maintaining our loyalty to the truth through the unstable times, through chaotic situations. A lot of the current events going on in our world certainly testify of that. But if we can have faith like this colt tied at the door, if we can stay tethered to the truth, if we can stay on location in faithfulness, when God is ready, He will call for us. And like this colt at the crossroads, when the Lord hath need of a particular movement, of a particular word of faith, of a particular fulfillment of a promise, God is going to raise up His people. Some of you are feeling that in your family. Some of you are feeling that in your personal faith. Some of you that have gone through the trials and you have been through the traumatic times, and maybe you've been stressed out recently because you have financial decisions that have to be made and you have situations going on in your world. But I tell you today, by the power of the Holy Ghost and the authority of the name of Jesus, that God knows exactly what the next step is. God knows exactly what's around the corner. God knows exactly what to do with His church at the crossroads of culture and obedience to the Word of God. Sometimes in these times of transition, sometimes in these moments of indecision, it's easy then to just get neutral. It's easy to just sit down and relax. It's easy to push the pause button and say, well, I guess maybe God isn't going to bring that specific prophecy to pass. But you see, this colt at the crossroads was in the exact perfect will of God, in the timing of the Spirit, with what the Lord needed at a particular moment when he was getting ready, not only for his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but now he is just a few days away from the destined crucifixion. God has a plan for his church, but God has a plan for each individual in the church. And we understand that all things work together for the good of them who are the called according to his purpose. You're not called according to the pain. You're not called according to the past. You're not called according to the perspectives of the world and the antagonists of society and the adversaries of hell and the humanists and atheists and seculars that have no regard for the sacred things of God. You are called to the purposes of his majesty on high. And I believe that some of you that feel tied to the trial, some of you that feel tied to specific timing, some of you that feel tied and tethered to situations that seem to be out of your control, and it seems to be immovable and unshakable, that God, like this colt at the crossroads, he knows exactly where you are. And when the Lord finally says, hey, that child of God right there, that woman and that man of God right there, that young person or that elder of the Lord right there, I've got need of them. I've got something I want them to do for me. I've got a soul that I want them to reach. I've got some territory I want them to take. Or simply, I want them to carry a burden. I want them to be used in a way that they've never even anticipated to be used. God is going to raise up individuals in this hour. And right now, it may seem that they are tied to situations that they can't get out of, that they are bound to situations and emotions of the past. But I'm going to tell you, God is bringing you out of that, because he has called us out of darkness into marvelous light, that we may show praises. It's not for you to be trapped by the past. It's not for you to continue in fear. It's not for you to be full of anxiety. It's not for you to just go around in circles of frustration. It is for you to understand that the will of God is being accomplished in your life, even while you're just being tied by the door, even while you're waiting on the Lord and wondering, shrugging our shoulders from time to time, is it ever going to come to pass? Sometimes we can replay things over and over in our heads. And we can say, Lord, we have heard it so many times. How many more promises have to be spoken? How many more prophecies have to be uttered? How many more prayer meetings do we have to intercede for the same thing? But we continue like spiritual farmers, apostolic agriculturalists, if you will. We are in the fields of labor, and we continue to sow the seed, and we continue to cultivate it, watering it with tears, if you will. And God is going to give the increase. And at that moment when he says enough is enough, when it has finally come to that fullness of time, when it has finally come to that marker on the clock of his prophetic will, then we're going to be loosed. The church is going to be loosed in this hour to do things and exploits in the Spirit. And it's not just hype. It's not just pep rally talk. It's not just exaggerative expressions. It's not just fictional things that we come together, work ourselves up into a frenzy. No, God is going to be faithful to his word. And the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former house. And so we've just got to, in the crossroads of the coming of the Lord, in a world at the brink of tribulation, we've got to just stay the course. We've got to finish what God has desired for us to do, because it's going to be dark sometimes. Sometimes we're going to get into the fog of confusion. Sometimes we get into the places of misunderstanding, misrepresentation of the Word of God. Maybe we thought we heard something one way, and then God corrects it and makes the necessary adjustments in our spirit. It's like in Matthew 14, when Jesus came walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. And the Bible says in Matthew 14 and 26, When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. You see, because it's harder to discern truth in the dark, that's why we have to know his voice. And when Jesus continued to speak to them, it was Apostle Peter that recognized that's the Lord. So sometimes when we're trying to visualize what God is doing, we can be troubled. We can feel like it's the wrong spirit because we can't quite make it out. The lens of our faith can't quite pick it up. It's too blurry. It's too hazy. There's too much static in the film, and we can't see it clear enough, but we can always hear his voice. That's why hearing the word of God is more important or a higher priority than seeing the sensational. And we thank God for every miracle that we've ever seen. We thank God for every apostolic sign that he's ever sent to a church or a constituency or an individual. And many of you can testify of that tonight. But then there are sometimes it's a dark path and the Lord says, keep on walking. Sometimes it's an unclear direction because we can't hardly see our hand in front of our face. But in the light of truth that he's put on the inside of us, we continue to take another step of faith, and we know that we're going to hear his voice. We know that he's going to speak a word. We show up on a Sunday morning. We show up on a Wednesday night. We show up in our Bible study groups. We show up at Starting Point. We show up in our Sunday school classes. We show up in group discussions where we're talking about the word of God because we know that his word is going to sustain us. We know that his voice is going to speak to us. We know that the accuracy of his word, it will never be off. It's not just 99.9% correct. It's 100% absolutely accurate all the time. Put your trust in that word of God. Put your greatest stock in the sure prophecies of the Lord, because when he sheds light upon something, when he begins to reveal his will, there is not a devil in hell, there is not a human on this planet, and there's not even an angel in the atmospheres and environments above that can stop what God has set on course. So ladies and gentlemen, we've just got to keep walking. We've got to keep moving. And sometimes it's easy to take things out of context, and then we get confused. Maybe we didn't quite read it all. Maybe we didn't finish the sentence. Maybe we didn't read the whole paragraph. Maybe we didn't take a good panoramic view of the circumstance, seeing it from every angle in prayer and waiting on God and him bringing clarity to us. It's kind of like I was reading in Genesis 43 the other day, and the story when Joseph is about to reveal himself to his brothers, but not quite. And of course, they've gone back to Jacob, and the brothers have brought the younger brother, the youngest now, Benjamin. This is Joseph's younger brother. They both have the same mother, Rachel. And the Bible says now they're sitting around the table, and Pharaoh has called for his servants, and you know they're putting the food out, and man, look at the dishes and look at the fruit and look at the meats and the way that it's garnished. And it's incredible. It's a feast. It's a celebration. And they're having a good time. But the Bible says in Genesis 43 and 34, and he, Joseph, took and sent messes, M-E-S-S-E-S, messes, unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. But now, I want you to think about this, how it could have been interpreted if the portion about the five times the mess was a standalone statement. So take out the first part, take out the last part, and the only thing that it would have said is, Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. No context, just left to assumption. If you were to read that by itself and the way that we can interpret the word mess, not just meaning a portion of food, but problems, trials, setbacks, sickness, conflict, contention, storms, pain, you name it, tribulation, it's all there. We might think that this guy in this text has incomparable pain and untold troubles, and he's suffering way more than anyone else. Now think about it again. Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And you know what? I feel like in the Holy Ghost, the devil's doing that to some of us. The devil's got us looking at things out of context. He's got us looking at standalone statements. And when we read it by itself, it looks tragic. It has negativity in it. It's a pessimistic outlook. Our perspective is totally skewed, and the lens of our faith is totally clouded. We're looking at this thing with the cataracts of human reasoning because we're not seeing the before and the after. But I'm telling you, when you begin to look at what you're going through in the context of the Word of God, it's not the trial. It meant that Benjamin was getting five times more food than any of his brothers. Could it be that some of the things that we're looking at it out of context. We're looking at it through human confusion. We're looking at it in a moment of weakness and prayerlessness. We're looking at it in a time when we've forgotten a word from the Lord and we forgot even how to quote one of our favorite passages and one of the prophecies spoken in our lives. We're missing a fragment of it. And so it seems like out of context, we are headed for defeat. We are headed for disaster. We are headed for destruction. We are headed for a dead end. Does it make sense? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because the devil has tried to highlight the pain. The devil has tried to highlight the setback. The devil has tried to highlight the failure and the mistake or the moment of doubt in your life. And now he's trying to make you think that you've got five times the mess, five times the problems. And the Lord is saying, no. Read it in context because the promise I'm going to give you is five times the blessing. It's not a curse. It's not a negative thing. It's not to your destruction. It isn't something that's going to kill you. It isn't something that's going to bring you down. It isn't something that's going to make you fall flat on your face. It is something that's going to build your faith. It is something that is going to remove the doubt of yesterday. It is something that is going to re-enlist your faith in the demonstration of the Spirit. And I know when you've been in a time of pain, when you've been in a time of failure and or not quite, maybe it's not even those things. Maybe it's you are not living up to the expectations, the pressure that you put on yourself. And we all do that. We all do that because we want to make an A+. We want to be the 4.0 student in God's class. Sometimes we're just getting by with a C+. But don't worry, God is going to see you through and God's going to help you finish. So the question is, what kind of mess do you have? Jesus makes it feed you. You got trouble, you got trial, you got trauma, all mixed in to the recipe, sprinkled with grace and mercy. You ever see something that looks terrible on the plate? You know, they bring it out. You never had it before and you go, man, I'm not eating that. And maybe it doesn't even smell that good. But then, you know, you bravely put your fork in it and maybe twist it around. You bring it to your mouth. You take that first taste and all of a sudden it explodes with flavor. You're absolutely stunned by how good it is. And then surprise, it's delicious. Well, that's what God's going to do with the mess in your life. It looks like on the plate right now, I don't know about this. This is discouraging. This has got a lot of discontentment and questions and confusion in it. And this is something I think I want to avoid. And one thing that's going on in the American culture right now, and even in the world, people are dealing with avoidance issues because they've had so much pain and a certain post-traumatic stress disorder. There's more people dealing with depression and anxiety. And I don't want to give glory to that. I know the Bible talks about the devil trying to wear out the saints of the Most High God, but my Bible tells me in another passage that be not weary in well-doing, because in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. And so, church, we've got to stand together. We've got to walk together. We've got to pray together and know that we've got a Benjamin blessing and know that God is going to lead us in this crossroads generation, in this hour of confusion. People are turning the signposts. They're confusing people. They're calling right wrong, and they're calling wrong right. People are running after trivial pursuits and giving up the invaluable truth. Folks would rather have the bronze of earthly acceptance than the gold of godly approval, and is far cheaper than anything that God has for you. The inheritance of the saints, the heritage of the holiness of God, the new Jerusalem that we're trying to gain. That's what's on the other side of the goal. That's why we've got to finish. We've got to have a finisher's heart. We've got to have a champion spirit. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 9 that those that strive for the mastery. He's talking about those Olympians. He said those guys are highly disciplined and they do it to win an earthly prize. We keep our bodies under subjection because we have a greater prize. We discipline ourselves and we go through the hours of trouble and we push through the darkness and the rejection and sometimes not getting the results that we thought we were going to get, but we just show up and go again. We just show up and pray again. We just show up and sing in the choir again because we believe that God is going to keep his word and will sustain us if we stay on the spiritual path that he's given to us. Now, Genesis 40 and verse 5 talks about the baker and the butler in the prison where Joseph was. And I want to just kind of pull out a thought here in Genesis 40 and 5. And it says, they dreamed a dream, both of them, the baker and the butler, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, and here's what I want you to see, which were bound in the prison. Now, this is what stood out to me in this text for a spiritual application. It doesn't matter what you're called to do if you're bound in the prison. Butlers can't serve and bakers can't make bread when they're bound in the prison. And there's somebody that needs to hear that word tonight. Somebody that has a dream of deliverance. And I'm not necessarily going into the particulars of what happened to the butler and the baker, but to just point out at this particular moment, being bound in the prison, what they were entitled by the king to do as a butler and a baker, serving and baking bread, it was impossible for them to do. And I believe that God will send us a spirit of Joseph in this crossroads, imprisoning hour in a sin tolerance culture to get us out of our prisons to do what God has called us to do. If you're a baker and God has called you to bake bread, that means be a teacher of the word, be a Bible study teacher, take a 1-hour Bible study, sit down in a multiple week Bible study, sit down in a group Bible study, go out in street evangelism and sit down by a stranger. I'm telling you, some of you have the anointing to do it. Don't you let the devil lie to you. And some of you have a restorative anointing. That means there's a time of refreshing. There's a breathing of the Spirit coming into you, a divine CPR, if you will. And God is rejuvenating and recharging your spirit. God's giving you dreams and visions in the night, and you're going to see certain people in your community, or maybe that you're working with, people in your family, people on your job. I'm telling you, people are hungry for God, and they need the bakers to bake the bread, and they need the butlers to serve the kingdom of God. But they can't do it as long as they're bound in the prisons of fear. They can't do it as long as they're bound in the prisons of doubt. They can't do it as long as they're bound in the prisons of offense and blame and bitterness and resentment. But come out of those prisons, I pray, in the name of Jesus, to bring down the strongholds of the devil, to break the chains of addiction, to set men and women free from spiritual adultery, to set men and women free from the perverse pits of society, to set men and women free from the lies of the deceivers in darkness and wolves in sheep's clothing, that they can hear the shepherd's voice. And so let's agree in the name of Jesus that we're going to come out of our prisons and do what God has called us to do. That you, like that colt tied at the crossroads, in the moment when the Lord hath need of you, you don't shrug your shoulders. You don't push it off. You don't reject it. You don't Say, well, somebody else can do that. I'm telling you by the conviction of the Holy Ghost, God is stirring some of you to do it. God is steering some of you in the timing of the Holy Ghost. God is loosing some of you like that colt in the book of Mark. He is setting you free from your own personal expectations to believe that God has spoken a word to you.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.